Weird Medicine is an extreme language show that may be offensive or inappropriate for some listeners.
5, 4, 3.
Fuck it.
There's no words on
it. Fuck it.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Because I've never seen that.
Fucking thing sucks. There's no words there.
Fuck it.
There's no words on it.
Fuck it.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Because I've never seen that.
Fucking thing sucks. There's no words there.
I don't know.
It's Weird Medicine Addendum, or in Malayalam, Prandan Guliga. That probably means the same thing as Beza Me Chocha. For those that listen to this week's Weird Medicine, I think we got pranked by someone who speaks Spanish. But anyway.
It means quality radio ahead.
It's the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, P.A. John. Hello, John.
Hello, Steve.
I guess I could probably mix that a little bit better. Using a Windows Media Player as a mixing board kind of stinks. So, we also have in the studio a double vasectomy Todd.
Hey, also known as Wiener Sleeve.
Oh, Wiener Sleeve, yes. And that's an in-joke that won't be an in-joke a week from now. Because we'll be talking about... Well, and what we talked about on the last podcast.
I guess that, I had premature revelation.
That's okay. The double vasectomy Todd has a new tattoo. Well, he has a tattoo that he's been working on for some time, but it had it recently finished up because he went to St. Louis.
Well, it's not quite finished, but it's getting there.
Okay. And he found out through another tattoo artist that his tattoo artist likes to hide penises in
artwork.
Tattoo artwork. So we have... now, dude, you know these are not twists off, right? We've got G-Vac in the studio. Hello, G-Vac.
Howdy.
Say hello. And we also have Ashley, who's working the chat room.
Hello.
And what's your name out there on the, in
Duck,
the chat
Duck,
room?
Duck, Duck, Douche.
Duck, Duck, Douche in the chat room. You can interact with her and ask questions, or you can call our voicemail line at... thank you, dude. P.A. John,
you are the man.
Comes prepared with his little...
credit card bottle opener.
Credit card bottle opener that he got from the beer club, because he's a beer nerd.
A true lush.
That's right.
So anyway, where was I? Hell, I don't even know.
Penises.
Oh, penis. Yeah, so... Todd looked at his penis, or had his, it is now the penis tattoo, looked at his tattoo and realized that there's penises hidden all over the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And there's one big old giant erect cock and balls, and then there's another one, and then everything that's vaguely cylindrical we now think is a penis. And then his wife, Ashley, got the same guy to do a tattoo on her foot. And it has a big, giant, flaccid cock and balls.
Yep.
So for the podcast listeners are going to get a little preview of this week's XM show. And we're having a little contest. It's not even I don't even want to call it a contest. If you have a better name for Double Vasectomy Todd, a better radio name, then... the old penis arm, or phallus aforethought, or the Bona Lisa, then definitely email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And if somebody sends something in that's so great that we have to actually use it, then we'll... We'll use it, and we might even send them a Weird Medicine merchandise thing, like a shot glass or something. What do you got, Ashley?
I have a question from the chat room.
Yes.
This person says, I've had problems with canker sores almost all my life, and sometimes I get them in the back of the throat, in the tonsil and uvula area. This makes it very painful to swallow and eat food. I went to my doctor some years back, and she confirmed that they were aphthous ulcers.
Aphthous ulcers, yes.
And prescribed viscous
Yes.
Lidocaine and to gargle before eating. The pharmacist warned me that it wasn't a good idea because of the risk of choking. So
this
I never
is in the chat
it.
Room. Somebody sending you like a 10-page question.
No, it's like several in a row.
Oh, you know what would
risk of choking. So I never used it. Any ideas?
Okay. Yes, aphthous stomatitis, also called canker sores. And by the way, if you're trying to call in, the reason that you can't get through is that I forgot to turn on the telephone. So I'm booting. Aww. I'm booting them up now. They'll be on in a second.
I'm tweeting the phone number.
I know. All these people are getting voicemail. But aphthous stomatitis, also known as canker sores, can be very painful. And the problem with them is they last forever. You know, most times when you injure your mouth, it'll heal up really quickly. But for some reason, canker sores will last way longer than you think that they should last. Mm-hmm. And they can last up to for several weeks. Causes from it seems to be familial. In other words, it falls within family lines. If people have a history of aphthous ulcers, then their descendants may also have those. The other thing that it's associated with, though, is anemia. So people with low iron or low just red blood cells will sometimes develop aphthous stomatitis. And every once in a while, correcting the anemia by giving them iron supplementation will fix the problem.
Hmm.
The other thing is they should avoid any toothpaste or any oral medication or mouthwashes that have a chemical in it called sodium lauryl sulfate.
Mm-hmm.
So every toothpaste out there has sodium lauryl sulfate in it. And if you will avoid that by using a toothpaste called Biotin, mm-hmm. it's the only one on the market that I'm aware of that doesn't have sodium lauryl sulfate in it. Then you can prevent some of these activities from happening. Mm.
Sodium lauryl sulfate's bad for you all over the
really?
Place.
What do you know about
you it? You don't want to use it in if you have a shampoo that's got it in there, you don't want to use bad for your hair, bad for your scalp.
Really?
Yeah, that's why cheap Suave shampoo just didn't the way to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There are several varieties of it. There's sodium lauryl sulfate and there's sodium laureth sulfate.
Now, the lauryl is the one that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Laureth sulfate might be a different animal, I couldn't say.
What is it, just an irritant to like membranes or?
It's just, it dries out.
Apparently.
Yeah, it dries things out. It's just not conducive to keeping moisture around.
Now, the thing that they were asking, though, is they were prescribed viscous lidocaine
right.
and instructed through the pharmacist, hey, you shouldn't use this, but here you go anyway.
Yeah. Here, don't use that. This.
Yeah, exactly. Now,
here, your doctor gave you this prescription. I'm going to fill it, but I'm going to advise you not to take it.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
You could choke. The viscous lidocaine's used.
You can choke on steak.
Exactly.
You know.
It will numb the throat, and so that's mm-hmm. why you have the risk there,
yep.
especially with the eating. But as long as you're taking small bites, it's not going to completely numb up the nerves as far as being able to swallow. It just numbs up the surface
right.
nerves.
And
so
here's the other thing.
Feel the pain.
Aspiration, which is the thing that you're worried about, which is food going down the wrong pipe into the lungs, doesn't happen in the mouth. That happens down in the throat, right around where the thyroid cartilage is, that big, your Adam's apple. Mm-hmm. In that general area, there's this thing called the epiglottis. We all learned about that. And when you swallow, there's like 20 things have to happen for you to swallow properly. But one of them is the epiglottis has to jam up against the trachea to close it off. It's like a valve. And so everything that's in your mouth that you're swallowing goes past the lungs and down into the stomach and not into the lungs. And that doesn't happen in the mouth, so you can numb up your mouth and still swallow just fine for the most part.
Right.
And I would only use the viscous lidocaine if eating is impossible due to the pain. But I would look at trying to prevent these episodes by avoiding sodium lauryl sulfate and getting checked for anemia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Got anything else out there, Ashley? The phones are up, by the
Not
way.
Not currently.
Okay, very good. All right, let's get some phone calls going. Go ahead, John. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was going to ask about the viscous lidocaine just because I have the gag reflex from hell. I can't even brush my teeth without sounding like I'm puking.
Really?
Yeah, it's awful, dude. If I brush my teeth, you would think that I was yakking up a lung. Wait,
seriously. If I brushed my teeth. Yeah,
if you heard me brushing my teeth, that implies which I do on a daily basis.
I knew things were going to be different when I moved down south. No, seriously.
Really, no kidding. That's why.
Yeah, that's right.
So they got that gag reflex and no teeth.
But I was just wondering if that
when
was
you say
something.
If I brushed my teeth, it's like saying if I masturbated with Vicks VapoRub. You know, as if it's something that you don't do frequently.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, if you were to be a witness to me brushing my teeth,
yes,
you would think to yourself, "My God, this guy's going to die."
Yeah.
And I didn't know if there was anything I should be doing different or if the sodium lauryl sulfate in the toothpaste.
No, it's got nothing to do with that. No, it's just you have a healthy gag reflex. There's someone very close to me who will remain nameless who also has that same problem. Mm-hmm. And when she brushes her teeth, she'll just puke in the sink.
Yeah, I've done that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just and it's like, "Oh, I puked." And it's like, "Are you sick?" Because I have this paranoia about puke bugs. I hate to get a puke bug. And it's like, "Are you sick?" "Well, I don't know." And it's like, you know, if you have a puke bug, you have to tell me.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You don't just puke. Well,
here's the thing. If you do just puke though, but if I have a puke bug, there's just a whole different feeling.
Yeah. I'll sometimes get that if you go on the inside between the tongue and the inside teeth. Back
see, I can do that.
Towards there. I get that.
Yep. By the way, I guess I never threw out the disclaimer. We are not your medical providers.
I think they know.
Take everything. Yes, thank God. Thank God we're not. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, pharmaceutal representative or whatever.
Et cetera.
The phones are up. Give us a call at 423-343-8884.
Because somebody keeps trying to call and they keep getting the voicemail.
Really? Okay. Yeah. You got your cell phone? Give us
yes,
a call, Ashley, and see it.
Dietudy.
Yep. 423-343-8884. This podcast, very unprofessional. First off, we've been drinking for two shows. We just recorded two Weird Medicine shows, both of which I thought were very strong.
I thought so, too.
Phenomenal.
And, check them out, 10 p.m. Eastern on the virus, Sirius.
Yeah, that's one to voicemail.
It's going straight to voicemail? Shit. All right. Sirius, what is it?
XM.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know.
Sirius
XM. Thank you.
Sirius 206.
Six.
Yeah.
And at 10 p.m. And let me try calling. Damn it, that drives me crazy. I'll edit this out of the podcast that we put up on Stitcher. Let's take a second and do some technical stuff here.
John, why don't you tell a joke while Steve's busy?
Entertain us, John.
This is
yeah. Say
this
something,
is,
John.
This is the joke.
Oh God! Don't actually tell a joke. Are you really going to tell a joke?
It's a joke that my 2.5-year-old's telling.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Tell the joke.
Okay. So, what did the squirrel say to the tree?
You're nuts. Is that what he said?
It's not bad.
What did he say, John?
Yeah. Let go of my nuts.
Let go of my nuts.
Aww. She ruined it. Poor John.
Sorry.
Way to go, Ashley.
All right. When I called, it went straight to voicemail, but now we got somebody. So area code 732, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Casco calling in from New Jersey.
Nice.
Phone line for you.
Jersey.
It's working.
It's why is it working for her and Ashley and I can't get through?
Because she sounds smart.
I'm from the great Garden State of New Jersey.
That a girl. There you go.
You know GVAC is a transplant from your area, so.
There you go. And I'm a chick.
And you sound
nice. Not a dude, I'm a chick.
You sound awesomely hot too, I'm just saying. Now I've been drinking for 2 hours.
There you go. I'll take it.
Do you have anything for us, or you just want to check out the phones? I really appreciate
it. I'm in the chat room. I didn't have a question, but you said call in.
I did.
The phones work. It's working.
Thanks. Send me some photos, okay?
Right. So don't hang. Did you hang up on
no,
her?
No, I haven't hung up on her yet. I was getting ready
to.
Hang
up. Okay.
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, I got a few questions for you.
I think it's supposed to go the other way around.
Just kidding.
It starts with what are you wearing, and then it gets worse from there. So, hey, thanks
truth?
For calling in. It's
truth
awesome.
Or do
that
you want to lie?
Lie to me, baby.
Yeah,
lie
let's
to
make
me.
Some good radio here.
She's awesome. I like this girl.
See,
okay.
A little too much O&A. See.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. All right. Have a good night.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Weird. Yeah, it was working for her, but not for anybody else.
Hmm. All right, Chad, try again.
Yeah, try again. See, maybe it was just some... I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I've got a hard wire. Here comes Chad, 610 area code. 610 area code, you're on the air.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man.
A quick question.
Yeah.
Is smoking pot as bad as for you as smoking cigarettes?
Wow, that's a great question. This comes up all the time. And we just did a show... where we half of the show we talked about smoking pot, and it'll be on. Was that the first show?
Yeah, the first.
So it'll be on this Saturday. So definitely listen to that. But that question didn't come up. Here's the thing: pot generally is smoked unfiltered, and it definitely has products of combustion, which is, you know, oxidized organic material turning into carbon and going into your lungs. This is not a good thing. It has tar in it. It doesn't have nicotine, but it has tar. And the good news is that people generally don't smoke 20 to 40 joints a day, you know?
Unless you're Cypress Hill.
These days, you're smoking through a vaporizer, or if you're still smoking joints, the pot is so powerful that you're only smoking a toke or two, and then you're done. They still call it toking. Yeah. Hell, can you tell I'm from the 60s? But I believe, and there's not that much evidence out there with pot smoking and cancer, which is what you're worried about, that there's not a lot of evidence out there that says that it is a risk. But if you want to avoid any semblance of a risk, just don't smoke it. Don't combust it.
What's the fun in that?
Well, I hear you. I'm not saying don't do it at all, okay? Because I'm on the record as saying that I'm in favor of legalization of marijuana for political reasons than anything else. But there are other ways to ingest marijuana. Now, I'm going to assume that you're in a state where marijuana is legal for medical use, okay? So if that's the case, and don't tell me if it isn't, then you would be able to go to your dispensary and get it in several different forms, and one of those is to eat it, you know? And heating it up doesn't really activate the pot, but what it does is it does convert some molecules to more active molecules. So, but the actual molecule itself does not require heating to be activated. The other thing that it does is it releases some of the resin to be more what's called bioavailable.
Okay.
So that's where there's this myth, and I was a firm believer in this myth until a few weeks ago when we actually researched it. But cooking pot and eating it is an alternative to smoking if you're worried at all about the toxic effects of smoke. Hmm. You know,
yeah, I don't smoke it that often, but you know, every once in a while I will.
Yeah.
I was just curious if it's more potent or less potent than a cigarette.
The tar content is pretty much unchanged. Now the nicotine content is non-existent in pot. Now nicotine is another toxic substance in cigarettes, and formaldehyde is as well. Mm-hmm. And but the nicotine causes constriction of blood vessels, which causes impotence, and it also can exacerbate heart disease. So cigarettes definitely more dangerous overall, just because there's more toxic substances. But what you're really asking is it as dangerous as tobacco as far as causing cancer? And they're probably equal on that if you smoked the same amount. You know, if you smoked 20 joints a day for 20 years, then your risk of cancer would be probably similar, although I don't have evidence to say that that's true. Okay?
One more thing I was going to mention. Trojan just came out with these new condoms, the Fire and Ice, the cold and hot.
Yes.
I totally recommend people try that out.
Really?
Holy crap. It is amazing.
Okay, awesome.
Wow, he sounds really excited about that.
They need to be sponsors of this show. There's no question.
They really do. Yeah, absolutely. That'd be perfect.
Ashley's going to be our sales rep. She's getting on that.
I have another question.
Okay, well, we're not quite ready for it yet, but because I'm going to talk about these damn condoms because... So tell me, these are fire and ice condoms. It's not an ice thing for the girl and then a fire thing for the guy. It's
sorry, I thought I heard noises.
Put the bong down, bro.
No, it starts out cold and then it like numbs your.
So it's fire and then ice. It's not like, oh, I'm going to try fire tonight and then I'm going to try
ice then fire.
Yeah,
it starts ice.
I mean, ice then fire. Yes. Okay, that's like Vicks VapoRub.
Yeah. Icy Hot. Yeah.
Vicks VapoRub.
It like numbs it, and then once you start going like faster and faster, it warms up, and the orgasm is like amazing.
Okay, I'm going out.
Okay. Now, I went through a lot so that I would never have to wear a condom again. But yeah. Now I think maybe.
I'm totally going to buy some condoms.
Yeah, I might try it. Yeah.
I'm totally doing it.
We'll throw in on them with you.
And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to bone Barbara Eden with them. That's a joke that only people will get if they listen to 2 weeks from now, Weird Medicine.
Yep.
So,
the future.
Yes. It's a joke from the future.
Time travelers.
But I'm totally buying them, and I'll report back. But my experience is that when I was a kid, I would masturbate with Vicks VapoRub because my mom didn't have petroleum jelly in the house, but she had lots of Vicks VapoRub because she believed in it. And when you start with that, it starts out kind of cold, mm-hmm. and then it gets warm, and it gets warm, and then you ejaculate, and then something happens in the nerves of your dick, and all of a sudden they're on fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's just completely on fire. And
that's because after the 10th time, it really does hurt.
Well, it's a horrendous experience.
It's similar to how you explained it, except it doesn't go to the pain.
It doesn't go to the pain. That's cool, because everything up to the pain with Vicks VapoRub is great. I cannot recommend it as a masturbatory,
And if you do it, if you masturbate with it, and then you get to the heat that's painful, do not, I cannot stress this enough, do not put cold water on it.
No, that's right. That's right. Yeah, it only makes it worse.
Yep.
Nice.
Okay, man. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Man. No, thanks.
You know,
you really jerked off with Vicks VapoRub.
Oh, dude, and I did it more than once. That's the thing. It was like,
are you serious?
Okay, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And every time I would try it, it was like, God, this is awesome. You know, that heat feeling is fantastic. And then I would complete the transaction. It was like, what the fuck? It was just horrendous. And it was, you're trying to jump in the shower, and all that does is make it worse. Mm. And you can't get this stuff off your skin because it's petroleum jelly. It's like, it adheres to your skin.
Yeah, it
anyway.
Seems to bond. It doesn't bond, but it seems to.
Right. How long before the pain went away?
Oh, it was probably a minute and a half, but it seemed like an eternity.
I could tolerate that.
Yeah.
The more I get to know you, you're a pretty creepy dude.
Oh, dude. We hadn't even touched on shit. I used to do. People have no idea.
I think I got an idea.
How just effed up I am. But anyway.
All right, Ashley, you had another question up
there. We're going to get to that. I just want to throw it out there. I'm working on 4 hours sleep, which you never want your doctor to do, which is why don't listen to us. This is for entertainment purposes only.
That's right.
And we've been drinking White Hawk. Tonight, the beer of choice that I bought at the High Gravity Beer Store was White Hawk Select IPA. And this is some good stuff from Mendocino Brewing Company.
I highly
recommend it.
Does it have the ABV on there?
Do you not have one? Because why do I have to do this? Because I'm trying to run a show.
Well,
7% alcohol.
7%.
There you go.
Very nice. Mm.
So I've had four. That's like drinking 8 beers, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So anyway, Ashley,
pre-rectal exams.
Speaking of alcohol and weed, mm-hmm. Somebody wanted to know that if weed was completely legal for anyone to use, would you choose weed over alcohol, or would you stay how you are, or what would be your thoughts on that?
Okay.
If you had to make a choice between weed and alcohol in the future when it's legalized.
I'd pick alcohol. I really would, and I'll tell you why. Because there's more varieties of it. There's lots of strains of marijuana, but, I mean, there's nothing better than having an IPA when you're out fishing, or a even a Bud Light Lime when you're hotter than hell and dehydrated on the lake. There's just way more varieties of alcohol.
Stout,
I think,
sitting by the fire.
Yeah. So I would, if you put a gun to my head and said choose pot or alcohol. Now look, I'm saying this. I don't smoke pot. I haven't smoked pot since the '60s. Yeah. Okay. And who didn't back then?
Well, I was only 2 months old.
Well, you were okay. Well, I'm saying of the people, my peers, that you can't find one. At my boarding school, I was a senior, and we were sat up there and tried to figure out who was smoking pot and who wasn't. And there were like 12 people in the whole school that weren't smoking pot at the time. So
were they staff? The staff was probably smoking pot.
They were not people we hung out with. That's all I'm just going to say. But, I don't smoke pot anymore, and I haven't in years. I got to the point where it was causing paranoia and stuff like that, and so it's been, it's way, way, way in my past. But I am in favor of it being legalized, but if you put a gun to my head and said pot or alcohol, I'm taking alcohol. There's just too many cool different alcohols. For me, everything else is, you can eat pot, you can smoke it, you can smoke this different one, this one makes you sleepy, this one gives you, hallucinations, this one, it's
there's a lot of different kinds of alcohol, but there's only one kind of drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
Where on the other hand...
No, there's not one kind of drunk, man. A tequila drunk versus a beer drunk versus a vodka
completely
drunk.
Completely different.
They're totally different.
You guys say that. I think it's all the same to me.
Not at all. Not at all.
I think it has to do with the expectations you have going in.
No, because I can drink scotch all night, and I can be kind of hammered on scotch. I can drink a three-quarters of a bottle of scotch, and I'll be like, wow, I'm fucked up. But I could sit here and hold a conversation. If I drank a ton of beer, I'd be like, sloppy.
Really?
Slurry. Yeah. But I could sit there, I could be sitting here going, wow, I'm pretty fucked to myself, but I could sit there and be like, well, Steve, and look you in the eye and
fake it. We need to test this, because I do not see how it's possible.
And if he has four shots of tequila, he's ready to beat the shit out of everyone.
You looking at me?
716 area code, you're on the air. You're on Weird Medicine Addendum.
Hi, Dr. Steve.
Oh, my God.
Another chick.
Another hot sounding. Yes, I'm sorry, yes. Yes, we're here.
Sorry about that. Sarah from Buffalo following you on Twitter.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi. I have a question about a friend of mine who's been sick and undiagnosed for about a year now. She received a flu shot 2 years in a row and seemed to have a poor reaction to it. At this point, she's actually currently unable to walk. She usually has a couple of spells. It's been a year now, so she's had quite a few spells, so to speak.
Yep.
They include things like when she walks, her hip pops out of joint. She has no core strength. She has a hard time breathing, low blood pressure, a whole host of symptoms, and remains undiagnosed. She's been to the Cleveland Clinic and got no answers there. Other than they seem to think it's an autonomic nerve disorder.
Yep.
Any insight or references to maybe another research hospital that might be able to look into this?
Okay, so she went to Cleveland Clinic, did you say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Cleveland Clinic.
Here's the thing. I have a friend. If you'll email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com, I have a friend who is the vaccine guru for the whole government of the United States, and he was my preceptor when I was an intern in Upper East Tennessee. And he knows everything that there is to know about vaccines. If you'll email me, I'll kind of mediate and put you in touch with him.
Yeah, but he works for the government.
No, it's okay, because I know. But he's cool, okay? He's a cool dude that works for the government. And he's fascinated with the academic aspect of vaccines. And so he's the government's go-to guy when they have a question about vaccines. But he doesn't work for the government. I didn't mean to imply that. But what she probably has is this thing called post-vaccine neuropathy. And do you remember that person that was in the news after the swine flu came out?
Yep.
And if she ran backwards, she could run.
Yep.
But if she ran...
I absolutely remember that. I can tell you that she's been tested for Guillain-Barré, mm-hmm. Epstein-Barr, she's been tested for MS. She's been tested for just about everything under the sun, but yeah. they just cannot seem to figure out what's wrong with her.
Any chance she's just a nut at all?
Definitely not.
Okay.
No.
All right. Okay.
Which
so.
Is funny because in the hospital when she was, she does have a history of post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
From an incident in her early teens from some family members.
Which is a problem because they'll just blame that on everything. I mean, blame everything on that.
I can tell you that when she first was admitted to the hospital for these symptoms, when the neurologist looked at her history, they kind of were very dismissive of her, thinking that she was crazy. I can tell you she's 37 years old. She has three daughters. She wants to raise them. She doesn't want to be sick.
Okay. There are neurologists out there that are fascinated by this stuff, and they're mostly in university settings where they get paid whether they get paid or not, and they get grant money to do studies on mm-hmm. things, and I'm not going to guarantee it, but I'm pretty sure we can find somebody out there that is an expert in post-flu vaccine neuropathy that we could hook her up with. So just email me sometime or DM me on Twitter. I follow you, don't I?
I think you do. I looked at Johns Hopkins research site today to see about possibly emailing them, but I guess they charge $550 for a second medical opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking, to your point, I'm looking for a really good nerdy doctor that would look at the case history and figure out what the hell's wrong with her. She's really not in a position to be paying all kinds of money. Her insurance won't pay for her to go to Johns Hopkins, and you know, as her close friend, I'm trying to help figure out what the hell's wrong with her.
If she has insurance, appealing to them, getting her primary care doctor to say that we've exhausted local options on this and she needs to go to a tertiary care center, that most of the time they'll approve that. But it requires a doctor to take enough interest in her to do the appeals process so that they can get the referral done. Sometimes on this show, we're not so good at telling you what's the problem, but we can tell you how to get to the answer. And that's one thing that she needs to go and have her primary care doctor or her neurologist to appeal to her insurance company and just say, look, we've exhausted local options. We need to go to a research center. And then email me and we'll find one to send her to, because we want to send her to the right one first time, because what the insurance company will do is they'll approve it. I'll guarantee you, I hate to use that word. I will almost guarantee you that they will pay for it, but they'll only pay for it once. So we got to go to the right person the first time. So I'll try to help you with that.
Yeah, she's located in North Central Pennsylvania, has been to Cleveland Clinic, and has been to some of the divisions of UPMC in both Pittsburgh and Erie. So,
yeah. I'm thinking Mayo.
Like the upstate New York area, Pennsylvania area is probably the best bet.
She may have to travel. You know, she may have to go.
Hey.
She may have to go to Mayo or something like that.
I think at this point she'll do anything to get better.
Okay.
I think at this point she'll do anything to get better.
All right. Well, email me and we'll talk about it, okay?
Hey, thanks, Dr. Steve.
Good.
Y'all have a good night.
Thanks for caring for your friend.
Hey,
you're awesome.
The only thing that I was thinking in the back of my mind is from the psychological aspect of it.
Yep.
I was wondering about that, too, as far as the Munchausen. Is that right? Because I forget all
Munchausen,
that.
But
yeah. Now, wait.
Okay.
She just said that it was something that happened to her when she was younger, mm-hmm. and 14 or whatever, mm-hmm. and she mm-hmm. said, then her friend says she has three daughters that she's trying to raise.
Yep.
If she can draw some attention away from her, maybe the same problem that happened to her as a kid that she said mm-hmm. by her relative won't happen to her kids, so maybe this is potentially.
I mean, dude, here's the thing. Anytime that we can't figure out what somebody has, we start looking at whether it's psychological. No mm-hmm. question about it. But there are people that have had real syndromes that have been written off as being nuts,
right?
Who just had something rare,
right.
You know. But I've had people with conversion reaction, and a conversion reaction is a form of what used to be called hysteria. And I had a kid once who couldn't walk. Okay, and I was a medical student, so this is not violating HIPAA, but she couldn't walk, And everybody, there was no physiologic basis for it. They did every test that we could do at the time, and there wasn't anything. And the technique that we used on her was, and she had kind of an overbearing mother, and there was, you know, just a lot of issues going on, and she was getting a lot of secondary gain from it because she was getting attention from her mother, who otherwise was not paying attention to this kid. Mm-hmm. So one day I walked in. I think it was me. I remember it that way. I'm going to say that was me.
Go for it. Yeah. You go.
And, I walked in.
Swinging his cock over his shoulders.
But I said, every once in a while, people just get better. And what we were doing was giving her an opportunity to just get better. Because if we went in there and said, you don't have anything, you don't have anything, there's nothing there, you're faking it. What she's going to do is not walk that much more just to prove us
wrong.
Right. But if you give them an opportunity to get better, and I'm not talking about Sarah from Buffalo, it was a friend at this point, then sometimes they will take that opportunity to go, you know what? Enough of this horse shit. I'm just going to get better, because the doctor said sometimes people just get better.
You gave her an out.
And within 2 days, that kid was walking around wow, what a miracle.
Wow. Mm.
Now, the reason I knew that, and I'm going to reveal something here that I've never, ever revealed to anybody, even in my own family. But when I was a kid, I faked an illness. And what I faked was that I couldn't see. Okay. Oh. And I did this because and it all has to do with who's the first person in your school that gets glasses. Because if it's a nerdy fuck, then everybody thinks glasses are for nerdy fucks and nobody wants glasses. But if the first person in your school when you're in elementary school is a cool guy, then everybody wants to get glasses. And everybody in my school wanted to get glasses because the cool guy had glasses. So I wanted glasses so I could be cool too. So I faked that I couldn't see. And I went to, and you know, I would unfocus my eyes and I would look, you know, at paper and pretended like I couldn't read and all this stuff. And my mom took me to the eye doctor, and all I wanted was some fucking glasses so I could be cool. And this guy's like, well, because I was not good at, I mean, I was eight.
Right.
I wasn't good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I had these sort of inconsistent symptoms, right. And the guy was
he
afraid
saw right
that,
through you.
Well, he did, but he also thought, well, maybe he has something rare that he has a brain tumor or something. And so I was like really taking myself down this crazy road, and I wouldn't get off of it, you know? So he said, finally, my mother was frantic, and my brother was yelling at me, and my sister was yelling at me because they're 14 years older than I am. And I've never copped to this. But, you know, we're honest on this show, so sure. I'm being honest about it. So, but the doctor was a genius, and he said, you know, sometimes allergy medicine will do this. So let's change you from Dimetane to Dimetap. There used to be, they called this stuff called Dimetane. So they changed me to Dimetap, and that gave me my out.
Because
I knew my mother was shitting a brick, and I had a brain tumor.
And she knew that you knew that she would kill you if you just said, okay, I was faking.
Right. No, there's no way I could admit it. And my mom's dead, and my dad's dead, and my brother and sister don't listen to the show. So,
the only thing
who
that
does?
I see.
Yeah. Well said, my friend. We are just sort of mentally masturbating all by ourselves here.
I see you walking into the room like the scene from A Christmas Story. When Ralphie walks in and they go, oh, Ralphie, what happened?
It was
soap poison.
Yes, right.
Oh!
That's the way I was. And I remember going to the eye doctor's appointment, and I was holding out this piece of paper and reading it at arm's length like I couldn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was like, quit fucking faking.
Oh, no.
And so I realized then that the jig was up. And so when I went to the appointment, he said, okay, read this. And it's like, oh, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Dimetap is great.
Yeah. And he's like, well, read this other thing. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, and then they were like, oh, it must have been the Dimetap. But he gave me my out.
Yeah. And he didn't give your mom a wink-wink?
Not that I'm aware of. I think my mom was oblivious to it. I don't think I don't know.
Yeah, you were eight.
I think this was a secret between me and the eye doctor.
Well, may have had something to do with your wanting to get into medicine.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, no. Absolutely.
Okay. We have a question from the chat room. A man is wondering about, is there anything that you can do to help his wife not be such a cunt around her PMS time?
That's the same guy.
We're back to marijuana.
It is the same guy, but he really, really needs help because he's scared.
They don't make a pill for that. Now,
Jefferson might have something for him.
Yeah, Jefferson the lawyer has something for him. Uh-huh. Yeah, he got separation agreement. But here's the thing. If this is something new, then there may be something psychological going on. She could be having some hormonal issues.
He says it's absolutely not unusual. It's every single time. It's like, I'm leaving you. You're a horrible father, that kind of stuff.
Well, quit being such a dick then, because maybe it's him. You know, people come to us with these questions, and, you know, we always try to look at it from their perspective. Maybe it's him. I don't know. But if it's something that has not been there their whole relationship, there may be an issue there. Mm-hmm. It could be something physical on her part. She could be having pain that she's not telling him about. Pain will make you angry. He may be a dick. They may just need to go to counseling. I'm a firm believer in counseling. There.
Yeah. She might be menopausal. Who the hell knows, right?
Yeah, it could be a hormonal thing, or he could be a dick. So I highly recommend that she get a physical checkup, and he get one too, just to make sure that he's not being a dick. And then I'm a huge believer in counseling, because here's what happens in counseling. You have a neutral ground if it's a good counselor. Now, there are some shitty ones out there who will take sides. That's not good. But you'll have neutral ground where you can say your piece without fear of reprisal. And
You leave.
But even then, really, the rules are set up ahead of time that whatever is said in here is about in here. And then I'm going to give you homework to take home. And you can work this stuff out. Now, if you've got little kids, I don't recommend that people stay together for the kids. What I do recommend, fix your marriage for the kids.
Sure.
Okay? Don't stay together for the kids. Fix your marriage for the kids. Because kids, you know, in broken homes do suffer from that. If it's possible, if there's not physical abuse going on and you guys just can't get it together because you were young when you got married and now you're looking at other people and she's looking at other people and you want to fuck other people, just go fix your marriage and it will be therapeutic for you. You'll feel better. You'll have a opportunity to say the things that you want to say that you otherwise can't say because you just get yelled at.
Or log on to AshleyMadison.com. Oh my
God. Well, he says...
Who really should be sponsors of this show, by the way.
He says their marriage is absolutely awesome other than that 1 week.
Oh, just when she's menstruating.
Wait a minute.
PMS.
You didn't say that.
Yeah, I said that at the very beginning.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. You just said he... No, you didn't. You just said this... This person wants to know how he can fix his woman who's C word. So, if it's just PMS, there's all kinds of things that can be done for that. I'm sorry. Well, rewind everything I just said and throw it out.
And you were calling the guy a dick.
Yeah, and I was calling him a dick. And I totally feel bad about that now.
Maybe you're a dick, Dr. Steve.
I am a dick. I'm also been drinking a few too many White Hawks. But
7.0.
Drunk dick.
Premenstrual syndrome is a treatable illness.
Absolutely.
And there are women out there that absolutely go insane.
So it's not just a lame excuse.
No, it is not a lame excuse.
Thank you.
It actually is a you're welcome. It's a real thing. It's a physiologic thing.
And it is treatable.
And it's absolutely treatable. So what she needs to do is go to her OBGYN and say, I have... really awful premenstrual syndrome. And the husband should go with her to show support. Mm-hmm. I love this woman, but this 1 week she's killing me and killing the kids and killing everybody around her. Mm-hmm. Absolutely something that's treatable. There's a lot of different medications that can be tried, including just putting people on the daily cyclic pill that just, where you don't ever have a period. Hmm. And there are several of those out there now.
The shot?
Sometimes
it's an injectable, isn't it?
There is, and I think that that's used from time to time. And there's also Prozac and other medications like that that are tried from time to time. If he'll email me, there's some new studies out there, and I don't want to quote them on the show, but I've had some success using B vitamins in patients who would take it the week before the time of their period, and then continue it until their PMS would normally go away. And that's something that you can just go do tomorrow, you know. And there are some studies out there that show that there's some effects from that. So if he'll email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com, and I'm sorry that I misunderstood his question from the beginning, but you know, if he had called our number at 423-343-8884,
he called a few minutes before that.
He did. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know what's going on with the phones, but anyway. All right. What else we got? You got anything else out there, Ashley? Because I'm about ready to...
No, I think that's pretty much it for right now.
All right. Well, listen. Most enjoyable show. It was enjoyable to me anyway. But,
yeah, good time.
You know, it's like... well, wait a minute. We got a 402 area code calling. Let me see. Let's see if it's good enough to put the end music on hold. 402 area code, go.
Hello, Dr. Steve.
Oh, totally good enough. Okay.
Hello. What?
No, totally good enough. It's a chick. It's good enough. So I put the music on hold.
No, I just have a question about my horde back.
Okay.
And I'm a bit nervous, so I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. You know what? There's 30 people listening to this, so don't worry about it.
I know, but still, it's Dr. Steve.
Wow. Wow.
Really, no need to be worried.
He's dreamy.
What's up?
When I was in about eighth grade, I went to a chiropractor, and he had a thing going with my friends also.
That is so hot.
Doing free x-rays.
Oh, okay.
No. Doing what?
Sorry. You just said, I'm sorry. You said anyway, go ahead. So you got free x-rays, and what happened?
Okay.
And he told me that my back was crooked.
Okay.
And he didn't say it was serious. And basically, that was that.
And you, I'm now, sorry, how old were you? You were
eighth grade.
Eighth grade. 13, I'm 23 14. Now, so okay. 16?
Yeah, if you were 16 in the eighth grade, there's something wrong.
Yeah, you're like 12.
I think you were like 13.
13 or 14.
Okay, because it matters. And we'll explain to you why it matters here in a minute, so... It was okay. You were just starting puberty at the time when they told 13. You your back was crooked, right?
No, it was before that. I started late.
It was before. Okay, that even makes any that makes more of a difference. So go ahead and finish your story. Sorry.
All right. Anyway, about a year ago, I went back to the doctor and they had X-rays done, and they said that my back looked normal. But here's the thing. About 4 years ago, my back started to hurt really bad. Like, it was just a dull, achy feeling.
Yep.
And now, for the past 2 years, it's just been so severe. And it started on my lower back, and now it's kind of, like, worked its way up to my sides and my shoulders.
Hmm. Okay.
And, so, yeah, I don't know.
Have they done any imaging on your back since you've been an adult? Any kind of x-rays or CT scans or any of that stuff?
No, just the x-ray about a year ago.
Okay.
And no MRI?
No.
Okay. Well, here's the thing.
Who did you see? Your family doctor or an orthopedist or the same guy did the first x-rays?
Just a physician.
Okay. So it was a regular physician. Right. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I think the curvature in your back when you were a kid is what we would call a red herring. I don't think it has anything to do with anything, particularly if when they re-x-rayed you, it was normal. And the reason I was making such a big deal about how old you were is that scoliosis will, you know, it can be detected early, scoliosis being curvature of the spine, but as you grow and go through that growth spurt between 13 and 16 as a girl, it can get way, way, way worse. And the curvature can get worse. And so what you would expect if your pain was caused by the curvature of your spine, the abnormal curvature of your spine, I might say, because the spine is naturally curved, you would expect that on the film that you just recently got to be totally visible. You know, they wouldn't say it was normal if it was coming from scoliosis. So it's coming from something else. It's not coming from that curvature in your spine. Now, PA John is an orthopedist. So what do you think? She started off having low back pain. It's now worked up to her mid-back and her sides.
Yeah, here's the big thing is I'm glad that I'm able to ask you questions, but I'm going to ask if you really want me to go in detail with it, are you ready for the questions? One, we have to see you and all that sort of stuff. So,
well, no, she's not ready to come see us.
No, so, no. I'm going to ask what do you look like?
No, come on.
Well, there's a lot of things. One, if she started puberty late, the development of breasts could have a big issue, and then now she's having severe pain later on. Or so she was 16. I tried to do the math. 19 when it got bad, and now she's 24. Is that right?
23. I think it was more like 14.
So 14 when she started having some back pain, and then a couple years ago it started getting a dull ache in the low back, and now it's working its way up.
Right.
So she could have had the development of breast that could have been very large. It could cause it to hurt from the higher up.
Okay, so what you could say...
The next thing is...
You could have saved 5 minutes by saying, do you have abnormally large breasts?
No, I do have I do have a C.
Okay. So it's probably not that.
Okay.
So go on. Joe.
And any radiating pain down the legs, or is it just in the back?
When it gets really bad, there is some pain down my legs, but not too bad.
Okay, when it's really bad, how far down the legs does it go? Just to the knee, to the thigh, all the way down to the ankles, to the feet?
To the thigh.
Just to the thigh? Okay.
Yeah.
Is it both legs?
Yes.
Okay. And...
Oh, my God. Make a diagnosis, John.
I'm trying to, if you will let me, Dr.
Steve. Oh,
no.
Now we have a problem.
Wow.
Okay, more than likely, this is nothing more than just some musculoligamentous strain to your low back, some just typical back pain that just doesn't seem to be getting better because you haven't really done any treatment for it. Typical treatment for that would be an exercise program. The other thing that it could be, but you're going to have to get an MRI, would be a spinal stenosis.
Stenosis meaning a narrowing,
of the spinal cord.
Be unusual in somebody 24, though, don't you think? Not impossible.
Yeah.
Not impossible, but unusual. We tend to see that in 70 and 80-year-old ladies where they've got arthritis in the spine and they've got, you know, the arthritis is causing the bones to grow larger, so the canal grows smaller. And it cuts off the circulation to the spinal cord.
And the thing is, the doctor that you saw that got some x-rays a year ago and said, your x-rays look normal, there's no problem, that's not
bullshit.
That is a bad doctor.
Yeah, I knew that was bullshit when I heard it.
Yeah. So x-rays just give us an idea. It's one part of the picture. It's not the entire part of the encounter.
There's so bones, nerves, blood vessels, everything. Muscles, and the only thing that you see on an x-ray really is bone.
And not just that, it's just a test that you take just to show a picture of what the bones look like. There really needs to be a good physical exam and occasionally more imaging such as an MRI. So the pain that's continuing to that seems like it's going up your spine, you've had pain long enough that you definitely need to have an MRI of your back.
The other thing is that you may have started out with low back pain, and when you start favoring that, this is what happens to me. I have a thing called spondylolisthesis, which is where one vertebral body is moved over from where it should be. And so I get this horrendous pain in my low back, and what happens is I start favoring it. Which is maybe that's a southern term, but I start giving into it. And when that happens, the pain will start to move up my back because now I'm using my upper back muscles to support myself where normally I was using my lower back muscles. And that may be all that's happening to you. And if you would attack the underlying problem, which is your low back pain, then you know, the rest of this pain would go away. I would recommend a couple of things. She could even try a chiropractor, but I would send you, if you came to me, I would send you to physical therapy. I would definitely get the MRI just to make sure we weren't missing something.
Right.
But I would send you to physical therapy. And if you email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com, I can send you some back exercises that you can try.
What have you done for it so far?
Mainly just trying to keep the pain to a minimum. I have done a couple of back exercises, but that just makes the pain worse.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you tried yoga? And the reason I say this is I swear that yoga was developed by some guy in India 4,000 years ago who had low back pain.
Yeah.
Because the upward facing dog is one of the best things you can do for chronic low back pain. And alternating that with the downward dog absolutely takes the pressure off of your low back. And, you know, those are things. Now, if you told me that that made the pain worse, I would definitely go for some imaging.
Yep, absolutely. You haven't taken any medicine or anything like ibuprofen or Tylenol?
Ibuprofen, but that hardly does anything.
Okay. P.A. John's just trying to keep you on the line because he thinks you sound hot.
No, I was going to say, you hit the nail on the head with yoga. I was going to say yoga or Tai Chi, something like that, where that's going to, you know, that would.
And I sound like a fruit for recommending yoga, except that yoga is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really
good
stuff.
The one out of body experience I ever had, this completely off the subject, was after doing yoga to Steve Ross on the Oxygen Network. So, you know, it was, you know, what can I say?
Like I said, man, the more I get to know you, bro, the weirder you are.
All right. Hey, email me and we'll see where we can go from there, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, okay. Good luck with
it. Was the phone call that nerve-wracking?
She's gone.
Oh.
She's gone.
9 minutes of low back pain. But, you know, it's so common, I think it's worth taking the time.
Sure,
to
absolutely.
Just, you know, give it a thorough examination, which we did. So.
Oh, John gave it a thorough examination.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Hey, listen, appreciate you guys. Absolutely. Ashley, thank you for running the chat room.
Always a pleasure.
Follow Ashley at DuckDuckDouche on Twitter. Follow Double Vasectomy Todd at Todd1017.
Right.
Follow GVAC at RFGVAC, soon to be WMGVAC. And dumbass, what is your thing again?
He doesn't tweet.
He doesn't tweet. He's tweeted once, and it says nothing. And that's literally, it says the word nothing. And it's at Squirrel Cheese, SQUIRL Cheese. He violates Opie Hughes' rules of proper
of
Twitter name etiquette. Yeah. But anyway,
I have over 100 followers, so that's cool.
It is cool. Well, I'm going to get you to 1,000 without ever tweeting anything. So definitely follow him. If you're listening right now,
recommend
whether you're on Twitter. I was going to say Twitter on Stitcher or Twitter or whatever. Follow this dumbass. Thanks always go to PA John, GVAC, Double Vasectomy Todd, and Ashley, the girl whose name is Ashley. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemails and topic ideas make this job very easy. Till next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, and get off as often as you can.
End it right there.
Get some exercise, and we'll see you whenever for the next edition of the Weird Medicine Podcast.